The Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Final for the first time since 2006. Oil country, let's go crazy, baby.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, I started that with glasses on, but I'm already warm, hot, and bothered as the Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals after a massive 5-4 overtime victory in Game 5 in the Battle of Alberta. Oh, holy oil country, what a game. On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we will be going over just how they made it, and that was without basically Connor McDavid until the end of the game. So we'll talk about just who pushed the Oilers over the top in Game 5, plus what a second period that was. What was that second period? One of the craziest periods we have seen ever. And that is after a series that have had many crazy periods. We will get to that. Plus, what comes next for the Oilers is they just bowled through one of the craziest series we have seen in hockey history. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Locked On Oilers Podcast. I am your host, Brett Holden. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making it your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. I was 10 years old the last time the Edmonton Oilers were in this predicament. Well, basically 9 because I'm a late bloomer. Well, late birthday. I'm born in late December. So I was 9 years old in 2006. I have a lot of people who have messaged me saying that they were 5 years old the last time the Edmonton Oilers were in this area, or in this space, in the Western Conference Finals. For so many people, for an entire generation, this is the farthest they have seen the Edmonton Oilers come in the playoffs after so many years. In the decade of darkness, the Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals, and I feel my eyes welling up right now as I just think back to all of the years that we had the first line of Taylor Hall, Magnus Pajärvi, and Jordan Eberle, and Sean Horkoff was up there. And now, after drafting the Wonder Kid, the McJesus in 2015, Connor McDavid is the reason the Edmonton Oilers are going to the third round, the Western Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But Connor McDavid only had one point. He only had the game-winning goal. It wasn't the Connor McDavid show that so many people would expect. I mean, and rightfully so. Connor McDavid is, let's be real, the greatest player in the game of hockey. And he's probably the best athlete in the world right now. And he went out there and showed why. In a game that he was quiet in, he still went out there and won the game, won the series, and the biggest series for the Edmonton Oilers in 31 years. Well, that was the first or last Battle of Alberta, let's be real. The biggest series for the Oilers was that 2007 NHL Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals in 2006. Excuse me, did I say 2007? No, excuse me. But Connor McDavid only had one goal. The Edmonton Oilers secondary scoring and the supporting cast around Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were what propelled the Oilers into the third round. Oh, I get a smile on my face every time I say that third round. And I say the third round, not even who we're playing yet, because we don't know. The series is still going on for the Blues and the Avalanche. So we will see potentially after tonight if we get the Blues or the Avalanche, potentially over the weekend if they do go to 7 games. But again, going into this series, so many people, and even as we discussed with Jess yesterday, the Flames had the advantage, I put in air quotes, in the depth scoring. I mean, everybody thought that it was the depth of the Calgary Flames that was really going to propel them in this series. And it wasn't there. Their stars weren't even scoring. But their secondary scoring was barely really there for the Flames until this game, really. Until game five, the secondary scoring wasn't there. But the secondary scoring was there for the Oilers. Again, Connor McDavid scoring the fifth goal for the game for the in the game for the Oilers. But also scoring for the Oilers, Darnell Nurse with the goal. Jesse Puljujärvi, the Bison King, getting on the score sheet as well. Of course, Zach Hyman with a goal and two assists. Zach Hyman becomes the first ever Oiler to score in each and every game in a series. The first. Yeah, we have had, you know, guys like this dude named Wayne Gretzky, if you ever heard of him. Mark Messier, if you've ever heard of the Moose. Jari Kurri, Esa Tiikkanen. You know, the list kind of goes on. Paul Coffey is a defenseman, if you ever heard of him. None of those guys have ever done what Zach Hyman has done in this series. And let's be honest, a lot of people haven't done what Zach Cassian has done in this series either. Kind of tough to see. But we're on a positive note. We're not going to talk about that. Zach Hyman with three assists last night, plus Evan Bouchard getting back on the score sheet for the first time since game three. Secondary scoring, going out there and winning hockey games in games that, even if you ask Connor McDavid even said he didn't have a good game. I wouldn't go as far as saying he sucked, because he didn't suck. But those were almost the words that he said. And the Edmonton Oilers still went out and found a way to win that hockey game. That is how you win championships. That is how, and I may be going a little too far there, but it is true. If your best players aren't going to be performing, you got to have that supporting cast to go out there and perform for you. And the Oilers did that. And that is how you win the championships. And that is how you win the series getting up to those championships. And the Edmonton Oilers now have the chance and are four wins away from being the Western Conference champions. Now, if you ask them, of course, and if you ask a lot of people, well, basically everybody, and if somebody gives you a different answer, then maybe you should reevaluate why you're talking to them. But if you were to ask basically anybody, which they would prefer, they would want to be the leaders of, and the champions, excuse me, of the league, not the Western Conference. And the Oilers are halfway there. Oh, we're halfway there. Oh! Living on a prayer. Because if you ask so many people at the start of the season, the Edmonton Oilers wouldn't be here. In fact, on February 10th, when the Edmonton Oilers fired, I almost forgot the name of the coach before. Who am I talking about here? Before Jay Woodcroft came in under, I almost want to say Todd McClellan. Why is it Dave Tippett? There we go. Excuse me. Dave Tippett. When the Oilers fired Dave Tippett on February 10th, and Jay Woodcroft came in, the Oilers were 10th in the Western Conference. The Edmonton Oilers are the first team in the Western Conference to qualify for the Western Conference Finals. excuse, if you ask anybody, if you basically anybody, and if you would have said, hey, the Oilers are going to qualify before the Colorado Avalanche, before the Calgary Flames, before the St. Louis Blues, before the Minnesota Wild in the Western Conference Finals, I think a lot of people would have looked at you and laughed in your face. Well, guess what? The Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals. And that wouldn't have been without the craziest second period in NHL playoff history. It was insane. Some insane statistics to come out of this game. Insane statistics to come out of the second period. And we will get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product that I use literally every day. And I started taking AG1 because I want something that really optimizes my gut health and something that optimizes my immune system as well. Plus, I don't want to take all of those supplements and those pills. And it actually tastes great. And that is exactly what I get with Athletic Greens. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging, all of the things. Seriously, all of those things. I've got my parents on it, and they literally text me going, thank you so much, because this has really changed their day-to-day lives. It is lifestyle friendly as well, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It is all available for you there. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. All while still tasting great. It costs less than $3 a day, so you are literally investing in your health. Plus, it is so much less expensive than that cold brew addiction that you have. I know, I have my coffee over here. I shouldn't be talking, but it is true. Plus, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes everywhere. Right now, it is time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It is one scoop in a cup every day, in a cup of water, that is, not just in a cup and you stare at it and you absorb all of it. One cup in a cup of water, every day, and that is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs, with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Oh, what a day. What a day, oil country, as we are heading into the weekend and we can play La Bamba all weekend. All weekend. You are listening to Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. And make sure after this, for your next listen, you tune in to Locked On Now. It is a nightly recap of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, it's on YouTube. If you're also on YouTube, hello, how's it going? I am also on the NHL Now podcast, just really quickly, because obviously the Oilers won Game 5 in Calgary after one of the craziest second periods in playoff history. Playoff history. Not in Battle of Alberta history, not in these playoffs history. In the history of the game. 4 goals in a minute and 11 seconds. Sorry? Yeah, no, I will repeat that. 4 goals in a minute and 11 seconds. That is the fastest 4 goals in NHL history. Zach Hyman got the scoring going, as it did help the Oilers, take the lead 3-2 at the time after Jesse did tie the game for the Oilers. Zach Hyman from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl at 14:57 of the period. Then Johnny Gaudreau got in on the action, assisted by Oliver Shillington 15 seconds later, as at 15:12. And then Cali Yarncroak scored his first goal as a Flame in his final game, potentially as a Flame, assisted from Nikita Zadorov at 15:28. And then Evan Bouchard from Leon Draisaitl and Duncan Keith at 16:08. Four goals in a minute and 11 seconds. If that doesn't sum up the series, and I don't know what does. Like, this was, again, a major back and forth. Every game, basically, other than maybe the 4-0 game where the Oilers scored all four of their goals in the second period, may I add, was so back and forth. I mean, we saw a goal from 132 feet out to tie a game in game four. The Oilers battled back from deficits in three of the four games they've won. I mean, the Oilers were down 2-0 in the second period. Let's not forget that. The Oilers clawed back from a two-goal deficit once again in game five. Darnell Nurse started the scoring, got the Oilers back into the game, and then Jesper Järvi, a guy who needed a goal, gets one and gets the Oilers back into the game. And then the Oilers take the lead. And then they equal it. The Flames equal it. And then the Flames went up again. And then the Oilers tied it again. That is, in a minute and 11 seconds, the story of this series. Every time it seemed like the Flames were just getting back into it, just going to get ahead of them, the Oilers clawed back. Just when the Flames tied it up with an 132-foot goal, the Oilers came back and won the game. I mean, the Oilers won 4-0 in game three, but again, the Oilers didn't score until the second period in that game, where they scored all four in the second period. It seemed like the Oilers just weren't going to, because Jacob Markstrom in game four looked, or in game three, excuse me, looked like the Jacob Markstrom everybody thought he was going to be. But the Oilers still scored four in that second period, and the Oilers went on to go. It was not easy for the Oilers in game three. And again, the Oilers had to claw back from a 2-0. I believe at one point they were down 3, or at least 3-1 at some point in that game as well. It was back and forth. I mean, there's no other perfect way to put it than those 1 minute and 11 seconds. But let's not get too hung up on those 1 minute and 11 seconds, because I think we've already spent longer than those four goals that have happened in or on that note. But there was an entire 19 other minutes that happened in it. 18, I'm not great at math. I've mentioned this already. But the Oilers did allow the Flames to come back at the same time twice. And if it wasn't for that goal that got called back in the third period by Blake Coleman, the Oilers would have allowed the Flames to take the lead once again in the third period. That's something we can't exactly gloss over either. The Oilers did also blow a couple leads. Well, they did. They blew one lead and then let the Flames go back up. It seemed like some of the old Oilers, or at least the Oilers that really struggled, kind of showed their reared their ugly head in this game. The Oilers didn't really have a lot of sustained pressure in the Flames zone until halfway through the second. And then after the Coleman goal got called back, that was when the Oilers really started to come back. But if that Coleman goal never got called back, what would have happened? The Oilers didn't look good in that game for most of that game until those 1 minute and 11 seconds happened. And then all of a sudden, oh, okay, I guess we should start playing. There were some issues going on in that game. And I, again, those were issues that we were talking about in game three when the Oilers won, in game two when the Oilers won, in game four when the Oilers won. They let the Flames crawl back into it. When the Flames scored to make it 4-1 in game three, I think I said it was 4-0 in game three. In 4-1, when Oliver Shillington scored late in game three, I sat there going, dang, they let them back in this series. Because it really did look like the Oilers were going to run away with it. some very scary things rearing their head for the Oilers if they do want to continue past the third round, but we won't worry about that just yet. Plus, I just wanted to mention as well, the second period has been the story for the Oilers. In these playoffs, in this series, the Oilers outscored the Flames 14-9 in the second period, while all four of the Oilers' regulation goals came in the second period. In last night's game, in Game 5, and all four of their goals in regulation, and eventually which won them the game in Game 3, also came in the second period. So if you're Colorado or St. Louis, when you come to play the Oilers, just make sure that, I mean, you got to have a good start or you'll also sink the Oilers. But the second period's the most important part for the Oilers, most important part of the game. Clearly, shut them down there, you might have a pretty good chance of winning the game. But it doesn't matter. After Game 5 is the Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals. We shall get into what's next for the Oilers in the Western Conference Finals in our next segment in the third period of today's episode. But first, I want to tell you all about Bet Online. Our partners over at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NHL hockey playoffs. We shall see where the lines open up for, the Battle of Alberta is all done. So who will get the higher odds in the Western Conference Finals between the Edmonton Oilers or the Colorado Avalanche or the St. Louis Blues? Plus, I wanted to mention as well, as we mentioned yesterday in the Bet Online, because you can bet on QMJHL hockey games. You can. And as we mentioned, the Shawinigan Cataracts, which is the team for Edmonton Oilers' first-round draft pick, Xavier Bourgault. Yeah, Xavier Bourgault scored the game-winning goal in that game. So if you bet on Shawinigan, you should be thanking the Edmonton Oilers and Xavier Bourgault. So big, big night for the Oilers organization. Plus, like I mentioned, the NFL futures are up there as the NFL schedule is now out. They are into OTAs. Oh, football season's right around the corner too, isn't it? I totally forgot about that. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee as I have Manchester United on my coffee mug, so not exactly the sport we're talking about. Oh, I guess I have Manchester United on my kit, too. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and just realized that. Sorry, I swear I'm an Oilers fan. We're talking about hockey here, as we did talk about a little soccer with Blake Coleman's goal. I've watched enough soccer to know when I see a kick, that was a kick. Like, let's before we get into what's next for the Oilers here, let's be real here. That's a kick. I completely understand keeping your leg on the ice, your guy in the, I get that. That is a back post ball screamer to the back of the net. Like, I don't know. That is a redirection if I've ever seen one. And after seeing what it could, a post can do to somebody's shin bone, like Steven Stamkos, circa whatever that was, 2011, 2012, I don't think a lot of players are very willing to put their shin bone on the line like that unless it's going to be a goal. And Blake Coleman was doing that. that was a kick, if you ask me. And I know you, a lot of Flames fans will go, no, that wasn't a kick. No, that wasn't a kick. Let's be real. If it was the other way around, a lot of people would be saying, oh, the Oilers were kicking the puck in. And including me, if that was the Oilers on the other side, that was a kick. That was 100% a kick. But it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. The Oilers are going to the Western Conference Final. So what next? We don't know who the Oilers are going to play quite yet, as tonight the Blues and the Avalanche play in Game 6 after, you want to talk about a crazy game between the Oilers and the Flames in Game 5? The crazy game between the Avs and the Blues in Game 5. You get an end-to-end goal from Nathan MacKinnon. Everybody thought that was going to be the goal that sent the Avalanche to the Western Conference Finals. It wasn't. The Blues tie the game with Robert Thomas, and then the Blues go on to win the game in overtime. So we get a Game 6. So the Oilers sit here and wait. So what do they do while they're waiting? Well, the first thing that the Oilers need to do while they're waiting is just get some rest. The Oilers need some rest. Both the Oilers and the Flames went 7 games in their first series. The Colorado Avalanche went 4 and now are going 6. They have an extended period of games here. The Oilers can just sit back and they probably, depending on when this series closes out, plus the Rangers and the Carolina Panthers are still going at it as well. They're going to a Game 6, so it doesn't seem like the schedule for the third series, or the third round, I should say, is going to be out for at least probably a week. So the Oilers might not play again until potentially Wednesday, which is almost a full week since they last played. Leon Draisaitl is obviously not 100% still. I mean, nobody is at this time, but there were even times during Game 5 where I was watching and I'm like, this guy's still hurt, man. There's still something laboring that guy, and then he just needs a break. He needs a break, and that is exactly what he should get. I mean, the guy hasn't even been skating in practice. So, I mean, and morning skates, too. Like, not just practice, but in practice the day of games. Like, those are big times to be on the ice and get into the groove with your team, and he hasn't been taking those skates, so take that time for Leon Draisaitl, get the rest. Plus, Darnell Nurse, he has that core muscle injury, as Frank Cervelli reported a week ago. Get some rest. He has clearly not been the best Oilers defenseman so far in this series. Well, I shouldn't say so far, because the series is done. He wasn't the best defenseman for the Oilers in the series. In fact, I should say so far, because he hasn't been the best Oilers defenseman the entire playoffs. I mean, Game 5 was Darnell Nurse's best game of the playoffs so far. Feels nice to be able to say so far, I can't lie. But let's get some rest on the guy. He's obviously not 100% either. Let's go out there, get some time off, go do your thing. Plus, Evander Kane has a brand new baby to deal with as well, so he gets to take a little bit of time there with his kid. Also, Mike Smith, he needs some rest as well. Just kind of recuperate, take a breath. He's 40 years old, so he needs that break as well. The other thing the Oilers need to do in this break is Evan Bouchard needs a reset. I've kind of strayed away from talking about it this series because, I don't know, it seems like there's been a lot of talk on Evan Bouchard. And I think this is far from Evan Bouchard's best type of game that he can play. Only 2 goals in the series, three, because he did score one in that crazy 9-6 game that I always forget about. But he scored the third goal of this series for the Oilers. And the issue is that it tends to mask all the issues that he has already made, or all the problems that he kind of caused. Tons of turnovers for Evan Bouchard in this series. He kind of looked like a pushover at times. Sometimes he showed a little bit of some sort of bite, but he's taken some silly penalties. He sometimes looked lost. That first goal for the Flames, he got lost behind the Oilers' net. He needs a reset. He needs to take a step back, talk to Duncan Keith, who is a bona fide veteran. And by the way, since the Oilers did now win two series, and are on to the Western Conference Final, that means that draft pick from the trade with the Chicago Blackhawks will be going to the Chicago Blackhawks. So just a little something that kind of unlocked my memory there. But yeah, Evan Bouchard, again, needs a reset, needs to take a step back and just reevaluate his game because it hasn't been great. Plus, the starts have gotten better. They have gotten better, but let's get consistent. Let's be real. Again, the Oilers kind of got outplayed for the first half of the game, I would say. Then the minute and 11 happened, and then things kind of started to lock down for the Oilers. More sustained pressure, more time in their end, better transitionally, better in their own end as well. I think after the fourth goal for the Flames, the Oilers were very strong in front of the net, in the corners, and really looked good after that. But that was only in the back half of the game. The Oilers need that in the front half as well and really make it a full 60-minute effort if they want to make it to the Stanley Cup final. Oh, that feels so good to say. And the final thing for the Oilers is get some rest, baby. Get some rest. You get some rest as my notes are flying everywhere. It is the mentality that everybody has as the Edmonton Oilers are going to their first Western Conference Finals since 2006. I have goosebumps just thinking about it, and even being able, from a 9-year-old kid being in third grade, sitting there as my school would announce last night, the Edmonton Oilers beat the Detroit Red Wings, beat the San Jose Sharks, beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Now I get to sit here and present to you and talk to you about the Edmonton Oilers on a daily basis. What a time it is to be an Oilers fan. Oil country, enjoy this one, as it is the first time in a long time the Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers podcast. And thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. For your next listen, for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL from the first round of the NHL playoffs to each and every single little kiss on the Stanley Cup. Locked On NHL covers you and the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, so are we. If you haven't visited us on YouTube as well and subscribe, make sure you head to YouTube and subscribe as well. Excuse me. I am ready to get this weekend going, everybody. The Edmonton Oilers are going to the Western Conference Finals. Have a good one, Oil Country. Stay safe.